Okay, Parashat Balak, and we'll start towards the beginning. The story is well known, but want to pick up on a few of the details. And we find that Balak sends messengers to Bilam that he should come and curse Am Yisrael. And Bilam says, well, listen, you know, it's not quite up to me. I need to consult with Hashem. That's wait and let me see what Hashem tells me. And we find in Pasuk Yud Bet, Vayomer Elohim El Bilam, Lo Teilechim Ahem, Lo Ta'oret Ha'am, Ki Baruchu. That's Hashem tells him, don't go with them, don't curse the people, because they're a blessed people. That's this isn't a very acceptable answer. And Balak sends more messengers, and to drive him a bit nuts and to ask again. And again, Bilam says, well, listen, I've got to take counsel. Let me find out what the rule is. Vayavoy Elohim El Bilam Laila. And this time Hashem came to Bilam at night. Vayomer lo, and said to him, Im likro lecha ba'u anashim, if the men have come to call you, then kum lechitam, get up and go with them. Va'achet hadavar asher adaber eilecha, but whatever I tell you, ototaseh, that's what you have to do. So a question asked by a number of the Mefarshim is, hold on a minute, it looks like HaKadosh Baruch Hu's changed his mind. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't change his mind, certainly not that easily. That's, but in the first instance, Hashem's telling him, Lo Teilechim Ahem. That's, and then in the second Pasuk, that's, it says, Kum Lechitam. Yeah, go up and go with them. That's, it's fine. So why do we have this apparent change? The Meshech Chochma incidentally points out as an answer that in Pasuk Yud Bet it doesn't say that it was a night vision. In Pasuk Kaf it says that it was a night vision. Night vision is always less certain than a daytime vision. But it's not absolutely clear from the Psukim that Pasuk Yud Bet wasn't a nighttime vision either. Anyhow, let's see what the Or HaChaim has to say. So the Or HaChaim says, he's going to ask the question, what's this change of mind all about? Tzarech ladat lama amar dvarav b'lashon safek. So we've got a number of questions. Question number one is, why does it seem to be that Hashem is raising some sort of suffix about what's going on, where he says, Im likro lecha ba'u anashim, if the men have come to call you. As if Hashem's not sure, but you know, try and find out what's going on. If they've come to call you, then go with them. That's Hamimenu Palei Kol Davar. Does anything elude HaKadosh Baruch Hu? He knows everything that's going on. Odd. Furthermore, Lama hiskim Hashem alidei harasha lalechet lekalel sonehem shel Yisrael. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu ever agree that Bilam could go to curse, uses an interesting rabbinic expression here, sonehem shel Yisrael. It comes up in the Gemara as well. Sonehem shel Yisrael literally means the enemies of Am Yisrael. It's a euphemism. It's lashon sagi nahor. Whenever it says sonehem shel Yisrael, it invariably means the Jewish people themselves. But we don't like to even talk about Hashem, punishing Am Yisrael. So we talk about punishing Sonehem Shel Yisrael, euphemistic way, referring to Am Yisrael. So that's the second. How could HaKadosh Baruch Hu agree that he could go? And the third question is, Od Tzarech Ladat, Lama Chazar Bo Hashem Midat Rishona, Sheikev Al Yado Mitchila, Sheikev Al Yado. Why has HaKadosh Baruch Hu retracted his initial position? Mitchila Masavar Uvasof Masavar. What did HaKadosh Baruch Hu have in mind at the beginning when he said, don't go with them? And what changed that eventually he said, yeah, you know, fine, go with them? Venera, so it would seem. So he's going to answer all three questions. We're particularly interested in the third question. What's this change of mind all about? But by answering the first two questions, we'll be able to understand the third question as well. Ha'im yaseh venera, ki ba'mashe lefaneinu hayu lifnei Hashem beit racheim. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu realized, basically, he had two alternatives, neither of which was ideal. Each one of them has a disadvantage. One option was, Im yaskim Hashem al alichato, if Hashem says, yeah, fine, go, then, Yachshavu ha'amim ha'heim, the other nations, particularly the Midianites and the Moabites, would think Sherush Shutor Biyadat's Mot, that Bilam can make his own mind up about this, that and to decide to go. V'lo yedu, and they won't know. Shalshelet hakelev biyad baalav, a beautiful expression here, that that basically his master's holding the dog's lead. That's Bilam's a dog, and he has to go where his master tells him to go. And he's not at liberty to do whatever he wants to do. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted that everybody would know that he's not at liberty, he's not got the right to harm anybody that Hashem doesn't want him to harm. That's option number one. That's if HaKadosh Baruch Hu lets him go, right, and says, yeah, it's fine, go, then people will think that, you know, Bilam can make up his own mind who he harms. So he's got to be restrained somewhat so that they understand that Bilam is a puppet. That's the colloquial translation of a dog on a leash. He's a puppet, subject to another force. However, conversely, v'im lo yanichehu lalechet, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him, don't go, yikanes b'michush acher, then you're going to have another disadvantage. Kiyomar Bilam, that's shehu yarei mimenu chas v'shalom. That's because Bilam will say, oh, well, you know, I'm so powerful, that's why Hashem's not letting me go. He's not letting me go because, oh, if I went, then I could curse them, it would be terrible for them. That's chas v'shalom l'sholcho, v'lazem ono milechet. So, as it were, you know, it doesn't work if he lets him go. It doesn't work if he doesn't let him go. If he lets him go, that's the thing. Ah, Bilam calls the shots. If he doesn't let him go, well, it's because, you know, Bilam's so powerful that he must be kept away. Asher al-kein nitchakim Hashem v'silek beit ha-michushim b'derech nachon. That's why Hashem, in his wisdom, was able to address both problems. B'tchila amar elav lo telech. First he said, don't go. That way he demonstrated that Bilam is merely a puppet. And Hashem also gave Bilam an opportunity to be rewarded because Bilam told the messengers of Balak that, listen, you know, I've got to consult. So that gave Bilam an opportunity. Bilam did get some reward for that. He goes on to discuss that a little bit. Then if we look just four lines from the end, and then with the second set of messengers that Balak sent, that solves the second problem. Because now they'll be thinking, oh, okay, well, Bilam is a puppet, but he's a potent puppet, meaning that he's a puppet, so okay, Hashem can stop him going, but if he'd gone, he'd of course havoc. That's why in the second pasuk, Hashem says, okay, you know what? You can go, I'll let you go. I've got nothing to worry about. So it's not that Hashem changed his mind, it's just that Hashem, as it were, had to tick two boxes. And because he had to tick two boxes, he gave two different instructions. The first instruction being, don't go, and that showed that Bilam was under his thumb. And in the second instruction, he said, you know what, okay, you can go. You can go because it really makes no difference. You're not going to cause any harm in any event. Okay, great. So, Bilam went. Vayakon Bilam baboker. Bilam got up early in the morning. Vayachavoshet atonor, and he saddled his ass. Vayelechim sarei Moav, and he went with the officers of Moav. Vaycharaf Elohim ki holechu, but Hashem became angry that Bilam was going. Vayitatzev malach Adonai baderech lesatan lo, and an angel of Hashem stood along the way to ensnare him. Vurochev al atonor, and he was riding on the donkey. Ushnein aravimon, he had the two. His two lads with him. So on the pasuk of Vayachavoshet Atonot, that Bilam saddled his own donkey. That Rashi tells us. You haven't got this in front of you, but Rashi tells us, Mikan shasina mekalkelet et hashura. That sometimes, you know, when you hate somebody so much, you behave in an undignified manner. That's Bilam was such an important person. What was he doing? He was saddling his own donkey. Saddling his own ass. That was beneath his dignity. But he was so eager to go and curse Am Yisrael, he was willing to do things that were beneath his dignity. That's, but in any event, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem said to him, not so impressed. Rasha kvakidemcha Abraham avihem. That's Abraham Avinu did the same thing as well. Shenemar vayashkem Abraham baboke vayachavoshet chamoro. Abraham Avinu got up early in the morning and saddled his donkey. And Chazal say, in actual fact, hasina mekalkelet et hashura. That's hatred makes you behave in an undignified manner. Vahaahava mekalkelet et hashura. And love also makes you behave in an undignified manner. That's Avraham Avinu in his love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He also did things that were undignified. But of course it's better to be doing things which are undignified for the sake of Hashem than be doing things which are undignified going against Hashem. In any event, the question that we've really got here, asked by a number of Mefarshim, is, hold on a minute. In Pasuk Kaf, we saw at the top of the page that Hashem said to Bilam, you know what, okay, the people have come to call you, kum lechitam, get up and go with them. I'm not too bothered. And then in verse Kaf Aleph, Kaf Bet, so Kaf Aleph we find that he goes, and Kaf Bet we find Hashem getting angry with him. If he's told him to go, why is he getting angry with him? So in a certain sense, we're all parents, so we can, you know, perhaps identify somewhat with that notion. You know, you have your kid, your child, asks, can I do something? You say no. They nag you. Fine. You say yes. All right? They go and do it. You're still annoyed with them for doing it. Meaning you gave them the reshut to do it, but you're not happy about the fact that they've done it.
That's
there is a little bit different because there Hashem didn't say to the Meraglim they had to go, but here he's instructing Bilam to go. But I can see a parallel. You're right, there's a parallel that, you know, Hashem, you don't need to go. Fine, if you have to go, go, but, you know, I'm not mad keen about it. Here I think it's just more, you know, more explicit, you know, Hashem telling Balak, you know, telling Bilam, you know, kum lechitam. And now, Vaycharafa Elokim ki olechu. Hashem's angry because he's going. So some Mefarshim indicate that the reason why Hashem is going is angry because he can see that, you know, that Bilam was enthusiastic about it. You know, Rashi says, ki olechu ra'asha davar ra'beinei hamakom, that Bilam knew that Hashem wasn't happy, v'nitavel olech. And that made him want to go all the more. You know, you sometimes have that, you know, I see it at school when I teach. You know, you tell a kid not to do something, and that only makes them want to do it even more. And that was how Bilam was behaving. If you look at the Netziv in Ha'amek Davar, the Netziv has a very close reading of the text and tells us something very interesting about the words, which answers our question. So Hashem said to Bilam, "Kum lechitam, get up and go with the people. Go with the messengers of Balak." V'lo amar Hashem, "Kum lech imam." Now, of course, in English, we'd say Hashem said to him, "Get up and go with them." And Hashem didn't say, "Get up and go with them." But the point that the Nesiv is making, that he said "lech itam" rather than "lech imam." Now, what's the difference between these two terms? Hainu mishum de lashon itam, the term itam, mashma'o, indicates shelo b'hashtavot v'hitro'ot. You're going together in parallel, but not in unison. That shelo b'hashtavot, you're not equals v'hitro'ot, you're not best friends. You're going with them, but that's more incidental than planned or desired. K'moshe katav tilel, the Nitziv says he gives various examples elsewhere. V'hadavar muvan she'yin yisam milechet b'derech yeshivat Yisrael, and it should have been clear that Bilam should not have gone where Am Yisrael were camping. Kim min hatzad, but he should have, you know, gone a side way. V'harasha lo avar azeh befol mamash, kashe yuvu alafaneinu. Now it's true, Bilam didn't exactly disobey the rules, as the Netziv will explain elsewhere. Avar mikol makom b'machshavto halach b'da'atam. But ideologically, Bilam was together with Balak. Mishum hachi ketiv, and that's why it says, Vayelech im sarei Moav. He went together with the officers of Moav. Look at if et sarei Moav. He didn't just go alongside them, but he went mamasha with them. That's chem mashmaot ushnei na'aravimo. Right, he went together with his two lads, b'deachat, they were of one mind. Not like it says with Avraham at the time of the Akedah. Avraham Avinu, yes, he had two lads with him, but they weren't going for the same purpose. That's Bilam was going im sarei Moav, and that was the problem. He went mamish with them. That's, I remember when I was, you know, a kid, that's, we had the teacher explain to us, how do you know whether you write im with an aleph or with an ayin? That's, so obviously, you know, we know they're totally different words, but when you're 10 years old, you know, you can't remember which one's which. That's, so somebody said, that's im with an I in. If you think about it in script, it's like a hug. That's the one arm goes like that, one goes like, you know, you're mamish together with them. That's, well, the other one's with another. So here, itam, you're not hugged like that. So this is the point. I think this is a very important, you know, life lesson that, you know, that we have here. That, you know, sometimes we have to get into bed with people that we don't identify with. That's, or we feel uncomfortable. So fine, you have to get into bed with them, but you don't have to snuggle up to them, as it were. And sometimes you've got to have a schutzfoot with a party that you don't see eye to eye to. Okay, so you'll have that schutzfoot, but you won't make it more than the schutzfoot, and it's important, you know, to have that distance between yourself and people you don't fully identify with. Okay, so great. Bilam is going together with the Sarei Moav, and as we know, that's the angel jumps out and gives the ass a terrible fright, but Bilam thinks nothing of it. So the aton, the donkey, saw that the angel of Hashem was standing along the way. A sword in hand. And the aton turned aside from the road. And went through the field. And Bilam hit the ass to direct it back towards the correct direction. So, lots of questions, of course, about this speaking donkey. It's one of the things that the Pihaton, the mouth of the donkey, is one of the things that the Mishnah in Avot tells us was created Bein Hashmashot. So it's, you know, quite an important feature in Maaseh Bereishit. But what was it supposed? How did it work? And what was it supposed to be achieving? I think we've mentioned on previous occasions that the view of the Rambam in the Moreh Nevuchim, and this is also the view of the Ralbag, Gersonides, that there was no speaking ass. But this whole first perek, almost the whole of the first perek, is a dream that Bilam's having. That's Bilam. The first verse is, of course, the Sarei Moav come to Bilam. And he says, well, I've got to consult with Hashem. Now, wait here for the night. And then he falls asleep at night. And then he dreams that Hashem tells him he can go, and he dreams that he goes, and he dreams that he has this whole to do with the ass. It didn't happen. That's not to say it's not true. It's definitely true. It just didn't happen. It was a dream. I think we've highlighted in the past, you know, there are a number of episodes like that where the Rambam and the Ralbag, explain actually it didn't quite happen. It was a vision. So, you know, Avraham sitting at the tent and the angels coming. He didn't feed them any food because he was asleep. It was a dream, but he got a message in a dream. Yaakov fighting with the angel. Didn't actually happen. It was a dream. It was a dream from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I hope I'm not shattering anybody's faith.
But he lived afterwards.
That's indeed. That's the auto-suggestion. As you know, surely is my least favourite word. But, you're asking a good question. You're asking a good question. I mean, that is the title that other Mepharshim will give and say, it can't be, because it would have said Vayachalom, or he limped. You're right. Or, you know, the Mishnah says, you know, the Pihaton. You're right. There are big questions, about it. But, I'm guessing that, the Rambam and the Ralbag, also had those questions in mind and were able to, certainly with the limping, that's the Ralbag says here, it was auto-suggestion. That's it. You know, it was all in the mind. He limped because it was, because that was in his mind. He dreamt it so strongly, when he woke up in the morning, he was unable to move his leg properly. But you're right. I mean, certainly the Pshat, not just the Pshat, but the overwhelming majority of commentators say, it's as it says. And it shouldn't bother us that it's as it says. You know, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu can split the sea, I'm not too bothered about one donkey talking for 5 minutes. If it's within the realms of possibility to split the sea for long enough that 600,000 Israelites can go through it, plus everybody else, that's he can make the donkey talk for a few minutes. Johnny Morris. Wasn't it? Johnny Morris, Animal Magic?
Oh, God.
Yeah. You remember it?
Yeah.
That's... Okay, so let's look at the Meshech Chochma. The Meshech Chochma is going to try and answer the question as to why it was necessary to have this miracle. And in doing so, he's going to tell us a bit about what was going on with Bilam as well. Hakadmonim nitpalu on this p'tichat pihaton. So the early authorities, they're a bit perplexed. That's about what was going on with this miracle of the talking donkey. This is, you're right, it's not as big as the Kriyat Yamsuf, but it's still, pretty, it's a nes galui, it's an obvious nes rather than something which could be ascribed to nature. It was seen only by a fairly limited number of people. It was only Sarai Balak. So even there were 100 officers that Balak sent. It wasn't like, Kriyat Yamsuf, which was seen by everybody. Finally, the Ibn Ezra. Va'anira, it would seem to me, he says. Kimashe chashashim yibarach shelo yichalel Bilam. So we have to ask, why did Hashem want to stop Bilam cursing at all? Right? Why not just let Bilam go? If Bilam was impotent as a soothsayer, then let him go and curse. And, what do I have to worry about? I'm sure, we've all had this, in our lives in one way or another. Somebody complains about something. Fine, let them complain. They're irrelevant. They can't do anything about it. That's... What he says, does that really matter? If Hashem blesses, so, Bilam can't overturn the blessings. So the Meshech Chochma says that he thinks the correct answer is Ki Ratza Hashem Lahatil E Matam Shel Yisrael Al Kol Malchei Agoyim. Really, what this, the whole reason we're interested in this parasha is because Hashem wanted to use this as an opportunity to make all the Canaanite kings afraid of Am Yisrael. Israel, so they wouldn't fight the Jewish people when they went into Eretz Israel. Therefore, seeing as Bilam was very well respected amongst all the nations, and they would come to him for predictions and advice, and they didn't deviate from his advice. So if somebody like him can say wonderful things about the Jewish people, Halolo Yakum Ruach Baish, that's Yimamu Kol Agoyim Mipachtam Useitam. Nobody will have any strength, any energy, that's to rebel against the Jewish people, and everybody will be frightened of them. The Chasher Haya came Kasher Amra Rachav. And this is exactly what we find with Rachav. Rachav says, you know, when the spies come to Rachav, they say, she says, you know, oh, you know, I've heard all about Am Yisrael, you know, the wonderful things that Hashem does, and, you know, it's, you know, all the sorts of terrible things. And, yeah, everybody's frightened that, so that is part A of the Meshech Chochma. So he's telling us, why did Hashem not want Bilam to curse? Because if he could get Bilam to bless, then everybody would be really impressed by that. If even Bilam, who they trusted, is saying that this is a wonderful nation, then everybody would be frightened of Am Yisrael.
I find the strangest part of the story is when, I mean, like, the PR told the donkey spoke, and Bilam didn't.
Yeah. Right, we're going to come on to that. We're going to come on to that in the shut up. Yes. So hold your horses a moment, or your donkey. Hold your donkey, and when we get to the shut up in the next paragraph, we're going to discuss that very question. Right. So that's it. So you're ahead of us. So if you skip a couple of lines in the Meshech Chochma, he says, "V'zehaya etza amun kamei chokmat haboreit barach." This was all part of the plan of Hashem, la'apil eima al hagoyim, to make the nations frightened, b'divrei neviyam Bilam hakosein, through the words of Bilam, their prophet. If he says, this is a wonderful nation, then they'll all believe him, and they'll be frightened of Am Yisrael. V'lachen chashash Hashem pen yomru ha'amim, ki b'nei Yisrael shichadu mikaspam hon rav le'Bilam. So then, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was concerned, hold on a minute, maybe people will start saying, well, why is it that Bilam's saying good things about Am Yisrael? We paid him £1 million, and perhaps Am Yisrael have paid him £2 million. So, you know, that's why he's saying such things. And it's not really true. So that he should, give visions like this, the money you could do mehem kol agvim, so that everybody will be afraid. Uvehemet bazaz emilibov hakesef ya'anem epiv. And, you know, perhaps, you know, Bilam's making everything up. Lachain hera Hashem itbarach pliat suma inyan ha'aton lifnei kol sarei moah balak rabim v'nichbadim. That's why Hashem did this amazing miracle, that the aton would speak before all of the officers of Balak. Inyan yotzei migvul ha'tvi, something which is clearly supernatural. This shows clearly that it's Hashem or an angel of Hashem who's speaking through his mouth. And that, whatever he's saying directly from Hashem. So basically, what's the symbolism or the reason for the Aton being able to speak? So that everybody will realize that, hold on, just as this donkey is able to speak, clearly Hashem has put words in the donkey's mouth. Likewise, whatever Bilam says will be Hashem putting words in his mouth. If Hashem can make the donkey say, hey, instead of bray, that's, then he can make Bilam say bless instead of curse. And therefore, seeing as it was important to Hashem that Bilam should bless, as a result, that or because of that, he needed the donkey to show that whatever Bilam said was coming from Hashem. Now, Roland's asked the fundamental question, which is asked by Shadal. We've met before, 18th century, 17th, 18th century Italian commentator, part of the sort of the new school of biblical analysis. It was new in those days. Haton Dibraim Lo. So he asked the question, you know, did the donkey really speak or not? Lo yibatzeh mehakel la'asot shetadaber. So, number one, as we said before, you know, it's obvious that if Hashem wants the donkey to be able to speak, it'll be able to speak. As I said, if he can split the Red Sea, he can make the donkey talk. That, you know, they should have jumped out of their skins. That, you know, you're going along the road, and suddenly the donkey turns and says something to you. You know, it's like something out of, you know, Candid Camera. You know, we've all seen, you know, the talking pillar boxes and things like that. That's, you know, people jumping back in shock. That's, or the moose scene in Fawlty Towers, right? That's, you know, where Basil's got the moose on the counter, and I think it's Manuel is behind there, and somebody comes in and can't see Manuel. The moose is speaking, and they get a terrible fright. Okay, so, you know, they should have been shocked. And he should have been unable to just answer back. So now Shadal is saying something very radical. Maybe the donkey never spoke human language. If you look carefully in the Pesukim, it never says that the donkey spoke. It says, right, Hashem opened the donkey's mouth. It doesn't say the donkey spoke. That's what's the exact...
Well, what he says is the donkey obviously...
Vatomer. It's Vatomer Levilam. So it does use a lashon of speech in some way, but it doesn't say Vatadaber. Vatomer is a much weaker form of speech. Let's just see what Shadal is saying. It doesn't say that the donkey spoke. It brayed in such a way that it was clear that, you know, it was as if the donkey was talking. Bilam got a very clear sense of what the donkey was trying to express. And because he was so angry, he shouted back at the donkey, spoke like somebody shouting at his animal, because you made a fool of me. That's, and then the donkey brayed back in such a plaintive, sad bray, or whatever noise sad donkeys make, which Bilam interpreted as saying something to him. Az nichmuru rachamav aleha v'amar lo. That's, and then Bilam, you know, had a bit of rachmonis on the donkey, said, no. Kloma ein derech habehima azot litalel bi. That's, you know, the donkey doesn't usually make fool of me like this. V'hinei emet ki Hashem patach et pi haton. So it's true that Hashem opened the mouth of the donkey. It brayed in a slightly different way than it usually did. A more high-pitched bray or a more low-pitched bray. But it wasn't enough of a nace that Bilam would be so frightened. I mean, we said at the beginning of the Amidah, now Hashem should open my lips. We're not asking to be able to speak supernaturally. We're just asking to be able to express ourselves. So the donkey was able to express itself. Gam karov hatava. Another possibility is, he says, Shebilam hayamit pa'er bahavanat kolot ha'ofot v'achayot. Bilam claimed that he was able to understand what the animal kingdom was saying to itself. He could understand the animals speaking, and the birds speaking. We say that about Shlomo HaMelech. Al ken shama kola. Therefore, when he heard the sound of the or the voice of the donkey, patad vareha feshiv alehem. So he interpreted it. You know, the donkey brayed. His men said, "Hey, what's the donkey? What's wrong with the donkey?" He said, "Oh, the donkey is saying whatever." Al ken lo nifhal narav. That's why nobody was surprised. Kizayadakol. That was regular. And Ashapa, I thought, Hayasham Nase Amiti. This time, it was a real mace. Avalaya Nase Nistar, Vloy Gushubov, Lochardu, Lohem Lobilam. It was, you know, Bilam had always made out that he could understand what the animals were saying. Probably he couldn't. But he'd always behaved like that. That's, you know, every time the dog barked, Bilam said to Mrs. Bilam, "Oh, you know, it wants a chocolate biscuit, not a vanilla biscuit." He made out that he understood what the animals were saying. So here, Bilam said, "Oh, you know, the donkey said, you know, has this conversation." Nobody was surprised. The only one who was a bit surprised was Bilam. But even Bilam wasn't that surprised, either because he was so clever, like Shlomo HaMelech, that he was able to understand what the animals were saying, or possibly he convinced himself that he was able to. So, you know, he didn't really get surprised. This isn't quite as radical as we think it is, because the Ibn Ezra makes a similar suggestion with regard to the Nachash in Parshat Bereshit, where the Nachash spoke to Chava. So there, nobody asked why wasn't Chava shocked when the snake started speaking to her. You don't have that much experience of animals. That's... you know, maybe she thought that all snakes talk. But the Ibn Ezra says that snakes don't talk. And the Ibn Ezra says if the snake talked, it would have mentioned it in the Mishnah, which it doesn't. And she just says, you know, the snake wound itself enticingly round the tree, and, you know, pointed at the fruit, and its tongue kept going out of the fruit, and communicated a message without actually speaking. So Hashem opened the mouth of the donkey, Vatomel Bilam, and said to Bilam, "May asiti lecha ki kani zeh shalosh regalim. What have I done to you that you've hit me these three times?" Rashi makes an interesting observation. Zeh shalosh regalim. Oh, ramazlo. You want to uproot and destroy a nation that celebrates the three foot festivals every year. So a question that is asked by a number of Mepharshim on Rashi is like, you know, there are lots of mitzvot, 613 mitzvot that we keep. Why not say to Bilam that, hey, you know, you want to... you want to uproot the nation that lays tefillin every morning. You want to uproot the nation that pays its wages on time. Why mention Shalosh Regalim? So, in truth, I think the answer is quite simply because Bilam had hit the donkey three times. So therefore, when the donkey's complaining about being hit three times... Mesa Remes, you know, three times, and three times also that's linked up with Shalosh Regalim. If the, animal, if Bilam has hit the animal twice, he might have said, "You want to uproot the animal, the nation that says Kriyat Shema twice every day." If he'd hit the animal five times, he'd have said, "You want to uproot the nation that lines Chamishachum Shei Torah." So he hit him three times. So, you know, he could have said you want to uproot the nation that says Kol Nidre three times at the beginning of Yom Kippur. Or he can say the nation that, observes the Shalosh Regalim, especially as the Lashon fits in here well. Shalosh Regalim, it could have said Shalosh Pa'amim, but Shalosh Regalim is not so unlikely. Let's see what the Kli Yakar says. Kli Yakar says, Yitachim al Faresh there, Shalosh regalim, sheramaz lo eichatarotze lakor umah hamakzeket b'shloshad varim, Why or how can you want to uproot the nation that is founded or grasps onto three important things, Asher Alehem Ha'olam Amed, things upon which the world depends? The Hainu, Shalosh Ragle Ha'olam, the three feet of the world, Beim HaTorah, Avodah, Gemilut Chasadim, the three concepts that we're very familiar with. Kibitulam haras kol haolam. If you don't, if the Jewish people doesn't adhere to these ideals, then Hashem may as well eradicate the whole world. V'ramaz lo gemilut chasadim. So what's the remez of gemilut chasadim? M'mashe amar v'telech basadeh. The animal went through the field. Ki ikar gemilut chasadim in hasadeh. The main way you do gemilut chasadim is with the produce of the field. All the tithes and gifts and leftover bits that you give. So the field is a symbol of gemilut chasadim. V'avodah shebeit hamikdash shenim chshal lekerem. Now the avodah in the Beit HaMikdash, and that is compared to a kerem. We'll see in a moment. Beit HaMikdash can be compared to a vineyard. Ramaz lo b'mishal ha'karamim. That's when he went on the path through the vineyard. Chaim Peresh Rashi, heviani al beit hayayin. It's an expression in the in Shi'ah Shirim, heviani al beit hayayin. He brought me to the beit hayayin. That's zeh ohel moed. Beit hayayin is a term, a description for the ohel moed. V'alehem ne'emah l'chad odi neitzeh ha'sadeh nashkim al ha'karamim. In Shi'ah Shirim, you know, we'll go up early to the karamim, meaning to the Beit HaMikdash. So we've got the field representing Chesed, the vineyard representing Avodah, Avumakon Tsara sharing Derklin Totsyam in a small, and the narrow passage that he ended up in, where he couldn't turn to the right or the left, Remes L'Torah B'Derkshin Ba'er. That's a reference to the Torah. The Torah, you've got to go on the straight and narrow. And you've got to follow what Hashem says without deviating to the right or to the left. So therefore, it's not the Shalosh Regalim, but it's we've got here a siman or a reflection of the three areas where Bilam's ass led him. Avodah is the kerem. Okay, service of Hashem. That's Gemilut Chasadim is the field where you give leket and shicha and pear from the field, and the straight and narrow that is the Torah. So, what was Bilam's response when he heard all this? Vayomer Bilam emelach Adonai chatati. Bilam said to the angel of Hashem, goodness, I've sinned. Ki lo yadati, I didn't know ki atan itzav likrati badarech, that you're standing in front of me on the way. V'atayim rabbi nechashuv ali, if you're not happy, I'm sorry, I'll go back. Okay, so all of a sudden, right, Bilam is on the defensive. Previously, he was on the offensive, banging the poor animal. Now he's on the defensive. Looking kerem hatzvi, a question that he has and an answer from the Shla. Look at the end of the first line, V'kashem lo yada ma'aseh shomer chatati. Why is he saying I sinned? He didn't know about it. You know, it wasn't a sin. You know, he didn't know about it. It was, you know, best, it was, you know, an accident. It was b'shogeg. You know, he didn't know there was an angel there. The katav Shla, so the Shla wrote, ki ala adam lahavin ul'da'at, person needs to know, et asher lefanav, certain things you need to know that they're lying ahead of you, they're in front of you. That's why a person's been given wisdom and understanding by Hashem. And why he's been had the spirit of life blown into him. That's not said about any other creatures. It just says, okay, you know, the world shall produce living creatures. Okay, they're kikol kocham rak me'aretz. They get their power from the other animals, from the earth. V'lochonenu b'neshama shechelek Eloah mimal. They weren't graced with a neshama, which is a gift from Hashem. V'im adam biker v'lo yada v'lo yavin as chotehu. That's, and if a person is such that he takes no notice of it and doesn't realize what's going on, then he is actually a sinner. Your sins separate you from Hashem. Shem chotz tzimal behirut hanefesh shelo dagia zahara v'zeh shama chatati v'zeh shelo yadati. That's, it sullies the soul. Meaning that Bilam, and again, this is an important message for us. Bilam should have been able to see the angel. He should have been able to see the angel. The fact that he didn't was his own fault. And the same is true with us, many things in life. You know, we ought to be able to see them. And if we don't, then that's a sin of omission. You know, it might not be a sin of commission, but it's a sin of omission. There are lots of things, you know, the facts are standing us in the staring us in the face. And if we if we're blind to them, then you know, we can't just ask to be let off the hook. So in any event, Bilam says lots of things about Am Yisrael, and that's the ikkar. You know, the lead up to it takes a lot of time, but eventually Bilam says some positive things about Am Yisrael. Three times he builds mizbechot and offers up sacrifices. The first time, he says something positive. Balak doesn't like that, takes him somewhere else. Second time he says something also fairly positive. Balak doesn't like that, takes him somewhere else. The third time he says, you know what, I'm giving up. You know, I'm going to bless them. Right? So let's just look at a few of these things that he says about Am Yisrael. Kimei Rosh, the first time, he says, Kimei Rosh Surem Erenu, Umigva'ot Ashurenu. We'll translate it like the Pshat. Okay, so Bilam's saying, I can see them from the high places, from the tops of mountains and hills. Hein am levadad yishkon, they are a people that dwells alone. Uvagoyim lo yitchashav, and are not counted or calculated amongst the nations. Look again at Rav Ferba, what he's got to say here. Od yesh lomar, the end of the first line. Od yesh lomar ki ramaz al tivam shel Am Yisrael. This is a hint about the nature of the Jewish people. Ki kasher hu levadad, when the Jewish people are alone, ve'edo mitarev bein umot olam, and don't intermingle with other nations, b'min hagim, b'min hageihem, v'nimusehem, chageihem, umodehem, that's with their customs and practices and festivals, v'loit chatein imahem, and they don't intermarry with them, yishkon, then Hashem will dwell amongst them. As yishkon b'mnucha, that's then the Jewish people will yishkon, will dwell comfortably. Uvagoyim, however, if they're amongst the nations, achim yitarev bagoyim, then lo yitchashev, they won't be regarded. Yovat hachashivut shelo, they will lose their importance. V'ramazoto rasha bevirchotav sod kiyumam shel bnei Yisrael v'chashivutam, and the rasha Bilam hinted at the secret of Jewish survival, that and the importance of Am Yisrael. Leman yeda balak haitza lahavid chashivutam hu haishtadlut avam im umot haolam. That so that Balak would know. Listen, Bilam saying, I can't curse them, but you should know that if you want to catch them on the back foot, the way to catch them on the back foot is to integrate them. And this, of course, goes back to, you know, a topic I think we've touched on, you know, previous occasions in Sefer Bereishit, you know, and elsewhere. But, you know, the notion of Jewish survival being different to the people that that we're around, being independent, certainly independent-minded. You know, and it raises lots of, you know, lots of questions. You know, we in a certain sense feel ourselves integrated, and you know, these are issues which are coming up in the public arena you know, with Ofsted and British values and, you know, and such things. You know, to what degree should we be embracing them? To what degree should we be trying to become British? You know, to what degree should we be, you know, separate? To what degree should we be integrated, you know, etc.? But we do know that, you know, Jewish history has shown that if we're not separate, or when we're not separate, you know, then the threat from assimilation is very, very is very great. And, you know, a line that I've heard Rabbi Sacks say on numerous occasions, that Gentiles admire Jews who are proud to be Jewish. Gentiles don't admire Jews who are embarrassed to be Jewish. Meaning that, you know, they admire us for our integrity as Jews and our integrity to what's important to us. If we try and hide from that, it's not going to make people admire us. Let us, we'll skip Matovu, because I'm sure we've touched on Matovu a number of times. Let's just go to the back page and look at something that Rav Henkin says. Rav Henkin, Talmid Chacham, Posek in Yerushalayim, written mainly in Hebrew, but published in English as well, picks up something interesting about the three times Bilam spoke about Am Yisrael here. God commanded Bilam to bless Israel against his will. First, Bilam formulated his words only in the negative. How can I curse that which Hashem has not cursed? He perceived Israel only dimly. I see it from the mountain peaks, I perceive it from the hills, the people that dwells alone and is not reckoned among the nations. The second time he was more forthcoming. I am committed to bless and will not renegade on blessing. Still he noted only the absence of blame. He has not beheld wickedness in Jacob, nor seen perversity in Israel. Only in his third prophecy did Bilam extol Israel's positive virtues. How goodly are your tents, O Yaakov, your residences, Israel, as winding streams, as gardens along the river. There is, however, one element repeated in Bilam's second and third oracles. Both picture Israel at war. In the second prophecy, Bilam described a people that rises like a great lion and lifts itself up like a lion. It will not lie down before it devours prey and drinks the blood of the slain. And in the third, it will devour opposing nations, break their bones and skewer them with arrows. Why the repetition? The third prophecy combines two elements. It includes both, it will devour your opposing nations, and how goodly are your tents, Yaakov. Israel is truly blessed. So he's now going to say that the third one is not actually a repetition. That Israel is truly blessed when it remains virtuous even in wartime, and vice versa, and when, along with moral sensitivity, it knows how to fight. When virtue and warfare go together, Israel's enemy have no hope. At this point, Balak despaired and sent Bilam away. Very, very topical as well. You know, what happened at the border with Gaza a few weeks ago, that, you know, I spoke about it, you know, in Shul, this notion, you know, on Shavuot. That's, you've got to be, you know, mighty warriors and fighters. That you've got to be able to defend and fight. And you've got to have the moral sensitivity at the same time. Sometimes there'll be a tension between the two. That's fine that there's a tension. But when that tension exists, then you know you're doing the right thing. If the tension doesn't exist, then you're doing the wrong thing. Okay, let's leave it there. Otherwise, there's no point starting early. That's...